Ready to get your spirit in shape? My name is Joe Iovino with United Methodist Communications, and for the next 30 minutes or so, I invite you to listen along as we hear ideas to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. Today we're going to be talking about family devotions. Many of us would love to have a time to come together as a family for worship and prayer, but we just don't know how. Fortunately, we are joined today by two authors whose books are designed to help us get into a routine of sharing our faith as a family. Kara Oliver, the author of Passing It On, How to Nurture Your Children's Faith Season by Season, is with us today. Welcome, Kara, to the podcast.
Thank you.
I know you're an author and a speaker on children and families ministries, but tell me a little more about yourself.
Well, I started my ministry in youth ministry, working for one of the agencies of the United Methodist Church. But from there, I kind of tired of electronic communication, only being able to communicate with young people through email or phone calls. So then I moved into youth ministry in a local church. And actually, during the time in youth ministry, I felt like the more vital part and necessary part of my ministry was with parents. I felt like parents were struggling as much or more with faith issues and the struggles and realities of family life than the youth themselves. So, but then from youth ministry, I was a stay-at-home mom for a while, and then our family moved to Malawi, Africa as volunteers in mission there in Malawi. And since then, I've returned and continued work in publishing in Africa. But still, always, my heart has been pulled by parents and the lack of confidence in sharing their faith with their children. They're forming their children in so many important and beautiful ways, but when it comes to spirituality and faith, suddenly there's a drop in confidence that if I don't have a theological degree or if I am not praying every day, then I can't do this with my own kids. So I'll send them to Sunday school.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a summary of where I've been and what has the seeds that have been planted and have prompted this book.
Sure. What about your family? Tell us a little bit about your family.
I have two children. My daughter is a sophomore in high school, 15 years old, just got her driver's permit.
Yes, exciting time.
So it is a new phase in our family life. And my son is 9, almost 10, in the fourth grade. So there's a big age difference in our children. I told my husband that when our first child could tie her shoes and make a peanut butter sandwich, I would be ready to have another one. And that has worked out beautifully for us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. So also with us today is Jenny Youngman, who is the author of Scrambled Starts, Family Prayers for Morning, Bedtime, and Everything in Between. Welcome, Jenny.
Thanks.
Tell us more about yourself and your family.
Well, I describe my family in my book as sort of a moving circus in a minivan. We kind of, that's the stage of our life right now. I have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and I have 6-year-old twins. And every one of them is interested in something or more than one thing. And so we do a lot of driving to this or that. And I'm also married to a pastor, and I'm also a worship pastor at a church. And so we're busy. We're just in that busy season of life right now.
No, it's just a great place to kind of start. I mean, I read a survey recently that talked about students in high school, and the ones that maintained their faith into early adulthood were the ones who had theological conversations or saw their parents practice their faith in front of their children. So how did you get started kind of doing it in your own home?
You want to go?
Sure. For us, in a formal way, it began with something that we call sads, glads, and sorries that Jenny describes in her book. And it was simply sitting around the dinner table. For our family, dinner has been a priority. That's where we hope we see each other every day, mm-hmm. is at dinner. So we started by going around the table. My son was 2 when we started, and so my daughter was 8, almost 9. And simply asking, what made you happy today? And going around the table, one thing. What made you sad today? And then asking, "What is there anything that you need to say you're sorry for?" And So that is the simple place where we started. And my husband, Jeff, and I trying to name where we saw grace in that, where we saw God in that. So just starting with our daily experience and then helping give language to the children about one of your friends is sick at school. Well, we should pray for them. Mm-hmm. So just starting where they were and then helping them see that God was in the midst of it. So that's the simple place where we started. And still today, my son is almost 10, but he is the one who now prompts us at dinner time. Hey, Dad, what made you happy today? So it's been an evolution of ownership.
Yeah.
And hopefully some depth, too, in where they see God in what they're sharing.
Absolutely. Jenny, how was it for you?
Yeah, for us, it really coincided with our kids starting school. And it feels like school is something that happened to us. Like the mornings are ridiculous. And we just sort of, it went through, our oldest daughter was in school for a few years. And everything is fine when you have one kid in school and only one at home. That scene is, it can get dicey, but for the most part, that's manageable. And then we had these twin babies. And then our older two were in school, and it just seemed like our morning routines just became a nightmare. And we were just, from the minute our eyes opened, everyone was screaming at each other, and we couldn't find anything. And it just was this sort of comical routine that happened every single day, and we never did anything to change about it. I mean, we never changed anything about it. And I just remember, like, feeling exhausted by that and defeated. Like, this is just it. I had talked to other moms. They had the same crazy morning crises that we had, and I just sort of remember feeling defeated about it, praying for an idea, guy, like, God, just give me an idea to get a hold of this thing. And so we just sort of said, we're not going to do that. We're going to push against that. And I wrote it down. I said, at 6 o'clock, our alarm's going off. At 6:10, this is happening. You know, it was sort of like a minute, and it took that kind of minute by minute in the morning game plan. At first, it did, and we had to get everybody together and say, hey, tomorrow morning, this is happening. And it was great. And, you know, we've done it ever since. I think it's probably been 3.5 or 4 years now of just the pattern. It just it sticks. And some mornings it's really deep and spiritual. And we are, you know, kids know what we need to pray about. They've got a test or they've got a friend who is struggling, and they want us to spend time praying about it. Sometimes it's like all we can do, we're still in a hurry, and all we can do is gather in a circle and a huddle by our front door and say, you know, thank you, God, for this great family. We love each other. We're cheering for each other today. Go with us, God. You know, it's so, so it's not, there's nothing deep and super spiritual about it, but it's just that habitual practice day by day by day. And not every day looks the same, but we just keep doing it.
Okay. So there's no typical kind of what it looks like in the morning or nothing you're shooting for.
Mm-mm. You know, people have asked me for pictures of our family praying at our table. And I'm like, it's not like Norman Rockwell. It's not like you would look in our window in a morning and see like our sweet family and like my 12 and 9 year old like hugging. And so, you know, it's not, there's none of that. There's still like the, he's sitting too close to me and whatever. But it's still, it's just us. It's authentic. It's who we are. And we come before God every single morning and we say, thank you, God, for a great night of sleep. Thank you for this family, for this house, for this community, you know, and we just ask God for whatever we need that day. And oftentimes, you know, my kids are like, thank you for everything, help all my stuffed animals have a good day. I mean, it's just sort of this, you know, not all of it is super deep, but my kids are, it's just a habit. And I know, I trust that God is going to take these habits and just keep shaping and molding them.
But I think I hear you saying, so can correct me if I'm wrong, that the habit is primary. The what of, that you do or say or any of those things is kind of secondary. It's more just getting into the habit and instilling those things. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, the experience, I want the experience to be lovely and sweet and deep and spiritual. That if I came to it with an agenda, that's what it would be. But you just can't. I mean, kids are kids, and sometimes they're right there with you, and sometimes they're not. And so, yes, it is like the habit of it. This is what we do. As a family, this is our value. This is our identity. We come together every day. And for some families, it's not going to be mornings. Like Kara's like, it's not going to be mornings for us. Right. But it's a habit. Every night at dinner, we do this. Every morning, we do this. And so That's kind of what that's been my starting point in the book, is like, it doesn't matter what part of day it is. It doesn't matter really what it looks like for your family, but you've got to figure out what it does look like for you and make it a habit. Do it all the time, regularly, so that your kids expect it and that your kids say, "Hey, Dad, we need to, what are you sorry for?" Yeah. What, you know, like we need to get them to have some, it's, if it's a habit, if it's a family practice, then it, then they help. They help it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carrie, your approach of passing it on is a little different, right? I mean, it's a little more structured, and it's around the liturgical year. You're talking about seasonally kind of getting together to focus on what's happening in the church year. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. When I first met with the publisher, they said, "How about if you do 52 weeks?" And I said, "No family that I know is going to do anything for 52 weeks, a curriculum type something. But there are seasons in every family that we can tap into." And so I wanted to draw on the church year. I think that is important for folks to realize that there is a, there's a secular calendar, but the church also has its own seasons. So I tapped into Advent and Lent, but then every family, even with many children going to year-round school, there's still some break in the summertime. So then I wanted to look at summertime and back to school. And I say in the book, I have three hopes. And the first is that parents or any adult who loves children, it doesn't have to be parents. It might be grandparents or godparents or aunts or uncles, neighbors. But parents look for God every day. That becomes a habit for us as adults, that we're looking for God. The second hope is that you will tell a child about it. Wherever, if that was the sunset on the way home from work, if that was a phone call that you received, if it was a good moment at work, look for those moments where God is and tell a child about it. And the third is to gather weekly, to have time as a family to kind of review the week and say, where was God? Where was, did God feel absent? And can we make some adjustments to our family life in the coming week? So, but each week I provide a symbol. My theory was that if, for children and adults, if there was something to draw our attention during the day that would help us remember, oh, we're looking for God.
Yes.
So those are my hopes, that as adults we would begin practicing looking for God and be able to articulate that. I think Jenny and I both talk about the language of God, that we want our kids to be able to name that God is a part of whatever we're seeing and doing, whether it's the news, the election, whatever it is. How do we name God's presence in that moment?
You should tell that story of your nephew.
So my sister is in Indiana, and she's not doing the book has a leader's guide component, but she's just doing it by herself and her family.
Right.
And her son is 7. And it was the first week of back to school. The symbol was the heart. Remember that God loves us and we love each other. And so he came home from school and he said, "Mom," I will not give the name of his friend, "Mom, so-and-so yelled in my ear today and I wanted to yell back, but I touched my heart and remembered that I should love, and I let it go."
Wow.
And I got that text message and just about started crying.
Yeah.
I mean, that is my hope, that it's just little moments where children remember God is a part of this moment, and I can make decisions because of that.
Yeah.
Make different decisions, not yell at my friend, not punch my sister,
so
whatever
good.
That is.
Yeah.
So that's my hope, to have something tangible. The symbols, I hope, are something tangible.
I mean, that's a good lesson for all of us, no matter our age. I mean, it's a great thing our second grader do that, but all of us need those reminders of God's presence in our lives every day. Have you heard stories of moms and dads or other adults saying, "Oh, wow, this caught my attention, and suddenly I'm looking at things differently"?
Well, my husband.
Okay. Are you going to get in trouble for this?
That's right. It has been interesting to see just how enacting this model in our own home with another group of parents. You know, we've been traveling with another group of parents for the past 5 weeks and doing this. And it, again, mornings are not our family time. So a comment that I made one morning just a couple weeks ago, and Jeff saying, is that how you would react with kindness? And it was a point of accountability, mm-hmm. right? But it's also, we had the symbol on our back door so that we would see it when we left in the morning. And so it was totally appropriate for him to say, this week we're practicing kindness. Is that the way you want to respond? And we are still married.
Thanks, husband.
Yes.
Use your own words against you?
Yes, that's right.
And you've seen it in your family as well?
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the language, the common language, and that's really, I think, what I've seen evidence of. And people have sent me emails to say thank you because I didn't know what words to say. So thank you for giving me some words to say to pray with my kids, or here I'm going to hand the book to one of my reading kids and say, choose a prayer for breakfast this morning, or choose a prayer for dinner, or let's do this family devotion. So it's like a language and an awareness. It's words and it's symbols, and it's an awareness that God is moving and God is with us and God is present, and we don't have to have fancy words and we don't have to be experts on it, but just to teach families to pay attention. That's the main thing, I think, that is the takeaway from emails and feedback that I get from people that have read the book. Or they're just like, thank you for giving me something that is so easy, giving me words to say mm-hmm. To my kids to help us be more aware of God's movement in our lives. And so that's been really special to get those.
How do you squeeze it in? I mean, you guys talked about how busy life is and all of that. How do you squeeze in time for this family devotions?
I mean, like I said, for us, it was like I sat down with my day timer. It was a few years ago when we had day timers. I still actually use a paper calendar. I get made fun of, but whatever. and I had to say, this is our window, because evenings for us are dance and soccer and church and drama practice and youth group and all of that. So it really for us is morning time. We just have to get up extra early. But, you know, we just had to say this is a family value. This is what we believe about who we are, and we believe we're better for it. There will come a time, my 12-year-old is sort of, they don't all go to the school at the same time anymore.
Right.
And so our mornings are there. I can tell they're going to have to change. And I feel like what's going to have to happen is that we're all just going to have to say, hey, our mornings are changing. What's good for all of us? We need to, they're old enough now. We need to say, you know, what do we want to move this to dinner? Do we want to do, you know, 8 o'clock at night at bedtime before we're going to sleep?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's going to have to adjust, and probably people with different age kids and different dynamics, working parents who have different schedules, every family just kind of has to say, this is where we can squeeze it in. We look at our calendar and we say, this right here, that's the one time we've got. Let's circle it because it's important.
But the time's not going to just appear.
The time won't appear. Never. Right? It will never appear. There will never be time if you don't say, we're doing it at this time. You know, you'll never have time to do family worship. You'll never have time to pray together ever if you don't say, this is the time we're doing it. Everybody be there.
And I think it is countercultural. what desire for our families, and trying to make this work in our families in fits and starts is countercultural. To say, we might be 10 minutes late to soccer because we need to finish dinner without inhaling it. it's always a balance of these responsibilities and commitments we have and the value that we really need to look for and acknowledge God present in our midst. Another mom that I met with, you talked about the circus in a minivan. She's decided the drive home from school is their time.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're all buckled in.
Captive audience.
That's right. But for her, it was kind of an aha moment. I think it is beginning to look at your schedule and say, when are we naturally together? And for this mom, it's the ride home from school. Right now, mm-hmm. her kids are at the same school, and so it's 15 minutes. You know, it's not a 90-minute call and response, prayer of confession, closing
right.
hymn.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's 15 minutes where she can say, right now, I want to hear how your day was and where was God. And you know what happened to me at work? I really feel like I'm gifted to be a nurse, and I want to tell you a story about what happened. You know, but it's 15 minutes in our minivan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it is countercultural. It is not easy. And if that is what you're asking God to provide, mm-hmm. God will show you. Mm-hmm. This is the place for your family. This is the time for your family. And so I think it's just always a balance and being open to what God can do in your family in the chaos.
Yeah. I think, Jenny, it was you that said something about if you looked in your window, it wouldn't be a Rockwell painting. It's not like everything mm-hmm. suddenly got magically beautiful because yes. you're having this devotion time. What have been some of the challenges along the way or some of the surprises?
Well, challenges, saying that you're going to do it in the morning, it's morning. So, like, you know, we're half asleep and there are lots of things to be done prior to getting to Carline and all of that. So, I mean, it's a challenge to get everybody to the table with a good attitude and a, you know, compliant spirit and open heart to the experience. But what is always so beautiful to me is when my kids will talk about somebody they know who is struggling, a friend, and they want us together to pray for him or her. You know, or a friend of theirs, grandma is sick, or a parent is struggling with cancer or something. My kids get the gravity of that, and that those have been the most special moments when they have understood the weight of another of one of their friends' burdens mm-hmm. and brought it to our prayer time.
Yeah.
I think that they understand that they can share the weight of the burdens of their friends and bring them, and they feel, one of my kids is really extroverted, really outgoing, and he's going to go back and say, we prayed for you, and I believe this is what's going to happen in that situation. He's just very bold. He's a very bold kid. But those are the most special, I think, for me, is when just hearing the words come out of their mouths they have heard in church, they've heard in their Sunday school time, they've heard their dad say from the pulpit, they've heard me say in a time of teaching or in worship. They come out of their mouths and they know what they're saying. They're not just mimicking. They know what they're saying. They're bringing the weight of a burden before God in prayer, and those have been the really special moments. And that still is not to say that from the window it looks beautiful. But, you know, beautiful is not always perfect. It's messy and
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell the story in the book of when we lived in Malawi. My son was only 3, and he from the get-go said he was not going to learn any Chichewa, which is the native language in Malawi, one of them. Adamant. At church, at school, wherever he was, he would not utter a single Chichewa word. And when we flew home to the U.S., we got on the plane, and he started singing a chorus from church in Chichewa. On key, which I do not have the gift of, but he sang it word for word, the rhythm, the melody. And I thought, he was paying attention. And so I feel the same way about passing on my faith. I can't tell you yet mm-hmm. what this has done in the life of my kids. My daughter, who's a sophomore, is in boarding school 7 hours away from me. And my prayer is that the seeds that we have planted, that she will be one of the kids in the study mm-hmm. at 19 years old that says, I have faith because of what I saw my family model. But I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trusting and praying that what our best efforts really are planting the seeds that will give them the faith and the courage and the boldness that they need mm-hmm. in the future. But I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is all yeah. an act of faith.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
But it does come back to, it's like learning the song, right? You do mm-hmm. it enough times, it just becomes part of who you are. And mm-hmm. and again, mm-hmm. no matter your age, when you begin to put those things into a routine and begin to have that, mm-hmm. it just becomes a part of you. So was there a time when, well, you mentioned that your son now asks for sads, glads, and sorries.
That's right.
Was there a time when everybody just kind of caught on and you didn't have to ask them to come together? They just started coming together? How long did it take to get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, for us, because it was so the same every day, it was immediate. You know, we said, this is what we're doing, and everybody was there. And, I mean, I for sure upped my breakfast game because of it. But that got everybody
there. If you feed them,
there.
They will come.
Yes. But, you know, it's like, what's she going to make? You know, it's such a, that helps for sure. But it was sort of, for us, it was like, day one, this is what we're doing, and it changed for everybody. But at that time, my kids were young enough that it didn't. They did what you know they do what they're told.
And what did it take a while, or?
I think it was novel at the beginning, mm-hmm. so people wanted to do it. But I think we backslide just like in everything else. There'll be a season where one of my spouse or I is traveling, or nights when somebody or everyone is just too grumpy to participate. So I think it goes in seasons, I think, for our family. There are seasons where it's clicking every night, and then suddenly we find like, oh, we haven't done that for a few days or a week. We need to get back on track.
If we're really excited about this and want to get started, like, immediately before the book can come from Amazon or whatever. What are some things you would suggest to do today, tomorrow, next week?
Yeah, I think the calendar bit is so key. Like if you know you want to get started, then you got to talk to your spouse. You got to say, hey, we got to be on the same page. Let's pick a time. Is it going to be every day? Is it going to be at dinner? Is it going to be once a week? And name it and put it on the calendar and like, declare it. So,
and I think too, almost immediately you have to come to peace with the fact that it's going to be awkward at first.
Yes.
Okay.
So when you turn off this podcast to decide, here's one thing I want to tell my kids about what I believe about God. And it is going to feel so awkward coming when they get off the bus this afternoon and you say, you know, today I really felt God's presence when I had lunch with your aunt. And they're going to look at you like you were from the moon. What? So it's going to be awkward at first. And I think that's okay. But to begin to have those conversations, to name what your faith means to you, why we go to church on Sundays, and the joy that you find in your faith, and the confusion, I think all of it. We don't always have the answers. You know, why is my friend sick? Babe, I don't know. But I trust that God is with him.
Yes.
But I think just accepting the awkwardness and the rolling of the eyes and move forward anyway. Mm-hmm. Move forward anyway.
And I think too, like praying for an idea. I think if you're interested in this and you want your family to move toward this habit, I think, start the prayers, start yourself personally, pray for your family and pray for an idea that God would take a hold of your family and shape them and, invite God to show you what in your family can go away to create some space for time with God. It's, you know, God will honor that and speak, you know, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. If we want to learn more, what are some places things you would recommend to people? Mm-hmm. Any ideas?
Oh, gosh. I have a long list of, like, favorite books. Not in necessarily about families, but I love, you know, any Richard Foster Celebration of Discipline, Spiritual Formation workbooks, things like that. What would you say?
I would say, well, the Upper Room website mm-hmm. is a great place to go for, they have an explanation of a lot of spiritual disciplines. Daniel Wolpert, Creating mm-hmm. a Life with God is an excellent book that is just maybe in 5 pages, the history of the discipline and how to practice it as an individual and how to practice it as a group.
Yeah.
So one of the books that I have of his is just tattered and torn. And I mean, it's just my go-to book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll include links to those on the site so that people can get them. We'll also include links to your books and where online can people find out more about you and Kara?
KaraLassenOliver.com.
Okay. And we'll make sure we put a link on there so you don't have to remember how to spell this. But
thank
we'll get
you.
There.
Yeah. Mine's just the name, Jenny Youngman. Yeah, JennyYoungman.com.
Well, we really appreciate you guys being with us today. I want to thank you, the listener, for spending this time with us. I hope you found it useful and encouraging. If you like what you heard, please consider doing a couple of things for us. First, take a moment to head on over to iTunes or wherever you receive this podcast and give us a really good rating. Excellent reviews will help more people find us and join us on this journey toward spiritual health. Also, be sure to go to our webpage, umc.org/podcasts. In the comments section, share your thoughts about this episode, questions you may have, or ideas you have for future topics. You'll also find my email address there if you'd rather send your thoughts along that way a little more privately. Finally, share what you've heard today with others, anyone you think will benefit from this spiritual food and these exercises. Thanks again for being with us. We'll be back soon with more ideas and encouragement to keep our spirits in shape. I am Joe Iovino with United Methodist Communications. Peace.